It's 8:45. That means it's time for the garden conversation. And we have
good morning.
And baby Sally. And, wait, baby.
Baby Colleen.
Baby Colleen and Sally. Sorry. It's just cute as a button chewing on something over there.
She's a little miniature gardener.
Uh-huh. Little miniature Sally, too.
So we're going to talk greenhouses today. One is because Sally and I both have a variety of greenhouses, and we think that it is a topic that a lot of people are interested in because there's a lot that have gone up. Joni, you're one of the people that has gotten one. Mm-hmm. This USDA program has made it financially possible, right. I think, for a lot of people to get them. And so there's quite a few in town. But before I launch into that, I forgot. I want to send out a reminder. Hold the date, February 16th to 18th. That is the garden conference in town. And we are actually going, the plan is that we're going to have a little section on greenhouse growing. There will be some sessions on that for those people who are interested in that. Mm-hmm. So if you want more information than what you're going to get in this 15-minute segment, come to that. So, and also Jeff Lowenfels, who is the he's the longest garden columnist in the United States. He's been doing it for 30 years.
From where?
He's in Anchorage. He's our very own Alaska gardener guru, and he has gone the whole gamut. He used to be a person that would he's gone from totally non-organic to organic, and now his expertise is microbes. So through the 30 years, he's really gone with the flow and learned a lot, and he's really humorous. He's a fun...
I hear he's a great speaker.
He is. He's a great speaker.
He's going to be at the garden?
He's going to be here for all 3 days. And so
cool.
He was in Skagway when we were there a few years ago, and I learned a lot and had a really good time with him. So it was fun. So, okay, greenhouses. Why do you have greenhouses, Sally?
Well, I've always been obsessed with greenhouses, and then moving to Alaska is a great excuse to justify having...
Not one, but how many do you have?
Seven. And I have all different kinds. I have one that still has some plants that haven't totally died in it, which is a glass house, the timber frame that Rafe built, and it's on the south side of a building, so it has more heat stored just from the building attached to it. Mm-hmm. So it manages to stay unfrozen a little longer, but it was 10 degrees at my farm this morning.
Goodness. Do you know what the temperature was? That's not an enclosed one, or is it enclosed?
That one's enclosed. Okay. So 10 degrees outside, that one will be maybe just around freezing right now.
Right.
But everything else has frozen hard.
Up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing about hoop houses that I had to learn is that the hoop houses, one of my hoop houses just has plastic on it. The nighttime, especially temperature, is really very little different than outside.
True.
When there's lots of air coming in. But when you go to polycarbonate and a more enclosed, that's when you get your heat retention is what I'm finding.
But you're talking about the glass one that you had, and it's still about just it freezing.
Yeah, that's the only one I have that's this time of year that's still really functioning.
Mm-hmm. Your polycarbonate one is, you don't have anything in that one at this point.
I still have some crops in there, but it has frozen pretty hard in there now. Mm-hmm. And it's twin wall polycarbonate, but I don't think it's as insulative as the polycarbonate on your dome, which is thicker and it traps more of an air layer.
Right. I have a twin walled. I chose to get the double layer, and it really is working pretty well. It finally did freeze. Yesterday morning I went in, and my lettuce had finally frozen yesterday morning. So, and we've had some pretty cold temperatures up there. So this is a grand experiment for me to just see how far I can push it. But I do think you're right, Sally. It makes a difference. If you're going to get that quarter-inch polycarbonate, it works great, but it is not going to have the insulation value that the thicker ones do. So if you're looking for insulation, put the money out and get the thicker one is the bottom line.
Yep. So if you want to use it for longer, or maybe it's just a smaller space attached to your house, it's probably worth it.
Right, which is one of the things that I have done. I have an attached greenhouse to my house. I actually have two. And the value of that, there's problems with that, but the value of it is that you're able to use the heat from your house in the spring. And so I don't do any added heating to this, but because of having this in my house, basically, I can have tomatoes in July, and I've actually even had cucumbers in late May. And it's just because I'm utilizing the heat that I'm already heating my house in April, March, a little bit in March and April. So that's one advantage to having an attached greenhouse.
Does it get too hot in the summer?
It gets very hot. So that leads to the question that I was going to ask you. Do you have any things that you feel strongly about greenhouses? And one I feel, my experience is ventilation.
Absolutely.
And I like to have automatic ventilation because I don't want to be a slave to my greenhouses. And if the sun comes out, the heat goes up in, it can go up 30, 40 degrees in a matter of a few minutes, literally. And so I have automatic openers on my vents, and I have a screen thing in my door in my indoor greenhouse that gets pushed up, and then a fan that comes on a thermostat. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do that.
Yeah.
But it does get hot.
It's one of the things I think people don't realize is that you can quickly reach temperatures that will actually kill plants.
That's a bigger hazard than freezing,
actually. Especially in the spring when we get those really clear, long, sunny days in April and you've got all your seedlings out. If you can, even just a box fan plugged into a thermostatically controlled outlet, it doesn't have to be really fancy, you can just have something as a backup in case, you know, you go out for a hike and it's cloudy when you leave and then you come back and it's 110 degrees.
There's nothing more demoralizing than being in town and having the sun go out and go, and for me to ask Diz, did you open up the hoop house? No, I forgot. So yeah. So what other problems are there that somebody might encounter with a greenhouse? Joni, what problems have you had this year?
Well, this year it was wet, so I had a lot of moisture issues, even though I had two fans going in there all the time and three vents. It was definitely a moisture issue, a green mold or something started, fungus kind of stuff.
Did you get the dreaded gray mold?
I got some of that, too. Yeah, the powdery stuff.
The stuff that just grows on just about any plant. Yeah.
And mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, actually, mushrooms is a good sign to have mushrooms in your soil. But so how do you deal with that, Sally? I assume you have the same problem. It seems like everybody who's got greenhouses has some moisture problems.
Yeah. I have on my high tunnels roll-up sides, so there can be some cross-ventilation. I think that's important. But on a cool summer, even in a greenhouse, there's almost nothing you can do, really. Some of those molds will just take hold. And what else? I suppose not overwatering. And then in your greenhouse, trying to water the soil and not the foliage is a good way to prevent some of that mold spreading in your greenhouse crops, like your tomato leaves.
One thing with my greenhouse, anyway, is that there was so much condensation that was creating. I know the condensation is created by the moisture that's in there already, but it was just dripping constantly.
And it dripped constantly, I've ended up on my hoop house getting an anti-condensate. I don't think I'm saying that quite.
What is that?
It is a type of plastic that it has a coating on it. And I thought it was a gimmick at first, but it really does work. It makes it so that the drips run down the side rather than on your plants. And there are some plants that I have learned are really susceptible to it. Like when I grow corn, it's no big deal if it drips on that. But if you grow beans and it drips on that, that will definitely start mm-hmm. that gray mold big time. So some of that is learning what plants to plant where. And I've even gone so far as to cover some plants so that you don't get the drips on them, on those susceptible ones, like beans are one that comes to mind.
Right.
But that is a problem.
So you just put a canopy over the mm-hmm.
whole area? I just rigged up some sticks, and I had some plastic on mm-hmm. top of it, and so that when it dripped, it would not drip right on the plants.
Oh. Okay, that's an idea.
So, but I do think that is one of the hazards of like Sally says, there's just moisture. When you live in Southeast Alaska, we get a lot of moisture, and this summer particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think having higher beds would alleviate that? My beds, I didn't have any. I just planted directly in the ground. Do you think if I had raised beds that would help with some of that moisture issue?
You plant in the ground, don't you, Sally?
I plant in the ground, mm-hmm. too. I think that raised beds can dry out faster.
A little bit faster.
Would help, maybe, mm-hmm. if you had too much moisture.
Ask me. My beds in my dome are pretty high. Mm-hmm. I made them high so that I can garden in my later years. And ask me in a year or two what I think is a comparison about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think that they might dry out faster.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping, you know. And plus, their roots would not get so wet, you would think, because they weren't going mm-hmm. into the ground, per se, as they are right now. Mm-hmm. They're just in the ground. And it's kind of not a good thing mm-hmm. to always have the roots wet.
But one of the advantages of having them in the ground is that you don't have to water quite as much. My hoop house mm-hmm. that is in the ground, I find that I don't have to water if it's raining outside. Even though the plants themselves are not getting right. rain on them, those roots are reaching to the soil, mm-hmm. to the ground that has groundwater in it. So
yeah,
that's one of the advantages of that. And, of course, that's one of the advantages of a greenhouse is that they're protected from really rainy time periods.
Mm-hmm.
So
you could work in them, too.
So you can work in them. Yeah. That's another.
That's huge. I love that. Yeah. Just save your greenhouse tasks for a really rainy day and go in there and listen to the rain mm-hmm. hitting the plastic or the glass.
That is. It's a great feeling. But then when you walk in and you have that feeling, but then you discover that you have a pest infestation. The mood plummets from, oh, isn't this great, to, oh, no, now what am I going to do about the aphids? Or what kind of pests have you had to deal with, Sally?
I've had aphids. I think one thing that is nice about where we live is I like to let all my greenhouses freeze hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for that reason,
good point.
I don't. I'd like to have a greenhouse attached to my house, but then I suppose it wouldn't freeze hard unless mm-hmm. I left. And I think that really helps control a lot of our pests here.
I do think that helps, and I think that that was a turning point for me with my attached greenhouse. One year I left for a bunch of months, and we closed down my house, and it really did freeze. And I think that is what really helped get rid of an aphid infestation that I had for several years. So I do think that's kind of key to a greenhouse. I had a new thing this year in that particular greenhouse of white flies. Have you ever had white flies before?
No.
I don't know if they're new. I mean, I've read about them for years, but I've never had them. But this year I got them in my greenhouse. And we'll see whether they come back next year. So
Colleen's talking.
Colleen's saying, I kind of like those white flies. They're really pretty.
You know, there's greenhouses don't have to be that expensive. There's a lot of videos on YouTube that you can look at mm-hmm. and make your own hoop house pretty easily.
There Absolutely. Are. I've gone pretty through inexpensively. Five incarnations of mm-hmm. hoop houses before I finally had enough money to buy the one that has roll-up sides and all of that. And so, yeah, there's lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. I used, there's all sorts of things you can use. Scrounge. You don't have to spend a lot of money.
Right.
In fact, I saw one this summer. Somebody had this gorgeous pumpkin growing in just basically a piece of plastic thrown over some hoops, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can start very inexpensively and small and experiment and learn.
Yeah, right. Some of the best greenhouses are probably the ones you can build for mm-hmm. fairly little input, because they'll be low and they'll trap the heat mm-hmm. low to the ground, and it can have some just simple ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to remember to use it. And I would maybe recommend that people do consider, though, getting some UV-treated plastic rather mm-hmm. than putting your money into and your time into a plastic that's really only going to last a season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's probably worth it.
Don't go to the hardware store.
Make it last 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Put the money your waste that way.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion. So, okay. All right. I think we have scratched the surface of greenhouses only, mm-hmm. really. And so those of you who want more information, garden conference in February. We're going to try to get somebody here who's got lots of experience. We have somebody here who's already got lots of experience. So so happy gardening, Joni.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Joni.